Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
Hello and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And Eric.
And Eric is joining us today to talk about, I think, essentially Francophone expressions of sexuality. Would that be an accurate description?
More like Francophone language surrounding sexuality.
Maybe you can give us a cliff note explanation of the show.
Well, actually, I could give an analog. So okay. We can talk about color and the way that different languages split the color wheel differently. So the way that different languages come up with words for different colors is not as obvious as you might think. So you'd think you take all the English words for color, you have red, yellow, orange, blue, you know, indigo, purple, brown, black, gray, and white, and then you just translate those words into another language. But that's not always how it goes. So not every language has a word for pink. A lot of languages, their word for brown is just dark orange. Sometimes the word for green and blue is the same. So in Japanese, ao is the word for both green and blue. And so depending on the context, it could be either. But there's other languages like Russian, which have separate words for light and dark blue. So the word for light blue is one word. The word for dark blue is another one, which sounds weird. But English also does it because red is dark red and then pink is light red. So as much as it sounds weird when you hear about things like that, and Welsh also actually does a thing where their word for green and gray is the same word, and it depends on the context as to whether it means green or gray. Actually, no, from what I understand, they have three different words for green, and one of them also means gray. So the way that we can express the exact same colors, so I mean, we don't really have certain words in English that they would have in other languages, but it doesn't mean we can't make one up. So there are a lot of languages that only have two color words, one for dark colors and one for light colors. But like if they wanted to say green, they would just say grass color, or they would just say sky color. And we do that in English with wine a lot. So we'll talk about burgundy, or we'll talk about
rosé.
Like we use wine colors, we use fruit colors. So the word orange actually comes from the fruit, not the other way around. The original word for orange, we used to just call orange dark yellow for the longest time in English. We do the exact same, like cinnabar is a specific shade of red that's named after a mineral. But anyway, so the way that we cut the color wheel up as to whether, you know, is blue and green one color, is it two colors? Is blue one color, do we call light blue and dark blue a different color? Same thing with sexual identities. So different cultures and different languages can split up the pie differently. And sometime in the future, we're probably going to do an episode on two-spirited identities, which very much cuts the pie differently.
Depending on the cultures as well.
Depending on, yeah, whether, you know, and from what I understand, a lot of the Métis tribes are just like, we'll just go with the European model because that's close enough for now. But anyway, and so that's basically what it is. How does the French language, how are French-Canadian politics looking at sexual identity in sort of the French-Canadian context? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I imagine LGBT or GLBT doesn't translate so well as an acronym. Like, I've heard Francophones say LGBT.
Yeah.
But I mean,
LGBT.
Yeah. It's an English acronym. So, I mean, let's start there. Do you hear the English acronym much?
Well, the LGBT has been used since many, many years ago, even in French. And then we just add so many letters as well, just like in English as well. But I think that not everybody identify themselves as that. So many people has been saying, well, we are more than a capital letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course we are a group of people, but what could be, you know, uniting everything just a little bit, like the queer community or the queer, the queer community did years ago. So that's what we try to do. We tried to do with the Francophone, or at least from Montreal, because, you know, some of the words are still fairly new.
Yeah.
being accepted, but not everybody wants to use it, because we do know that within the community, not everyone thinks alike.
Yeah.
So by the time that we get to that point, and I think that we were getting there, but now we're kind of going backward.
Yeah.
As for, okay, now we all need our individual terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, that's my own opinion, that it's starting to divide a lot of the stuff. So instead of being more united, as for with the trans community, mm-hmm. for se, like, that's what we've been seeing. A lot of people are trying to, oh no, let's do all the trans stuff, which I find really amazing, because they've been doing a lot of stuff. But at the same time, is we can still do a lot of fight all together without having to be separated. So some of the terms, like allosexuel, which is just to avoid the LGBTQ2+, whatever, and forgetting letters, forgetting people that might not identify themselves as one letter, or sometimes they're like a mix between the two. A lot of people still don't even know what the Q is.
Yeah.
Is that the queer, or is it the questioning, depending on who you talk to, and the French and English.
Is it ally?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that when we came out with the term allosexuel, or that's more the Latin roots, you have it as well with the Greek roots, which is altersexuel, which is, something different than the majority, or whatever is, an out of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure that it was inclusive.
What does that literally translate to? So
the A-L-L-O, allo, as a prefix.
Yeah.
The only place that it exists in English that I could find, because I looked it up, allodontistry. So orthodontistry, ortho means parallel. So if you have crooked teeth, orthodontistry shifts your teeth so that they're parallel with each other.
Huh.
Allodontistry rotates your tooth in the socket so that teeth that are out of place match everything else. So allo basically refers to anything that does not orient the same way as everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of judgment neutral. It's basically just something is different. One of these things is not like the other, and it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so allo just is like all the things that are not like most of the other things is what that means. So allosexuel is just sexual identities that are not like most other things. And also in French, sex is ambiguous. It means like both sex and gender, as we would say it. Like now the word genre.
Genre is getting used more often, especially with everything that we've been going through with gender identity.
Yeah.
We have the choice of using that.
But it's under the influence of English
very much
feminism that genre is starting to become gender.
Mm-hmm. And the French language is such a gender language, because everything has feminine or masculine, everything, a chair, compared to une chaise, une table. So everything has a gender. So making it neutral is a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So that's why we do need to think of other terms, and those who don't exist, well, maybe we should come up with something.
Find something.
Or maybe we should just use, as for example, me, when I talk to people, especially when I don't want to take for granted their gender or their sexual orientation, per se. But then I will just always use a general language without pronouns and stuff like that until the person actually say something about it. Because you always talk about it and eventually they kind of pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, you identify yourself as gay, bisexual, heterosexual, whichever. And then you sort of have the permission to use it because the person kind of said it. But other than that, I try not to use it. So I will use the name of the person when I talk to the person. And in French and in English, it's not the same thing, because French, everything has a gender. So it's a lot more complicated. So when I work with some of the schools, well then, we try to give them tools or a way to talk differently.
Yep.
But because we've been raised and educated the way that we speak now, it's kind of to go back and start again. So it is a little difficult, but it makes a whole difference
with
the individuals.
There are a few dialectical differences as well. So like in Western Quebec, where my family lives, in Abitibi, there's sometimes, instead of saying il, which is like him, sometimes it gets abbreviated down to e. So you spell it with just a y, like y. So il me dit. But in fast speech, the e can also be l. So sometimes people are using E as a neutral form, but because it is historically associated with the masculine, it has implications, even though there are dialectical reasons why E could be neutral. And so it's a thing that's still being worked out. It's very new.
So I know that, for example, in English, I will always use folks as a good way of just non-gendering a mm-hmm. group of people. And you know when you were saying about going gender neutral until somebody clues mm-hmm. in? I think it might be, what I found in English is very often it's the other way around, where I have identified someone as being gender non-conforming because someone's referring to them exclusively non-gendered. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, there's a clue. I'm going to just pick up on this like this language here.
But see, even in French, when we use two general terms, even there is a gender. Because when we say people, we say le monde. So it's masculine.
Or les gens.
Les gens.
Yeah.
It's masculine.
Les gens is more like folks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we go le groupe,
yeah.
you know, the group, it's still masculine.
But the advantage is that you could say mon chum. And so chum is basically the exact same thing. It's basically like my buddy. But chum can mean my boyfriend.
Yeah.
But I've seen women refer to their girlfriends as mon chum.
Because not everybody wants to say ma blonde.
Yeah.
Which is a really more familiar French.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so Quebec.
So what do you call a group of women then?
Les femmes.
Oh, okay. I mean, that also does sound like the second for a good
job. But at the same time is when but at the same time is when you're with them, you don't want to assume that they all identify themselves as women.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll still refer to them as you, as human beings, you as vous en tant que personne. Like, so I do still have to go to feminine.
Yeah.
But I'm just making the reference of I'm talking to a group of people.
Sounds like quite the remark. So you said that the aloe, and you were talking about the rotation and teeth and so on. Yeah. you mentioned it was rooted in Greek.
For alter, yeah, which is pretty much the same thing. Is everything that doesn't fit within the box.
Yeah,
everything that is a little different, to a degree, to the extent, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's all about sexual orientation and sexual gender identity as well. So everything that is not fitting in the box, either because they're simply questioning, they're not sure, or they identify themselves as, example, being gay instead of heterosexual, then they would fit in within that. But at the same time, it's like anything else. Maybe you do have so many people don't like the term homosexuel.
Yeah.
They prefer gay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They prefer homosexuel instead of a lesbian, or gay in French. We have
the E.
Yeah. So that all comes to what I refer myself to. And some people don't really care about that name or the etiquette that you need, or, the tag that you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
But then having something bigger that says, you know what, whatever you don't fit in with the majority, as for the, heterosexual white man or whatever, they at least they have somewhat that they can look up to and feel more comfortable, have somewhat of a, sentiment d'appartenance, belonging to something that is a little bigger, that won some fights, that is still fighting for human rights and stuff like that, for equality.
It's also worth mentioning that French culture, well, French Canadian culture especially, more so than continental French, it's a much more collectivist culture. So working towards the good of the group is much more of a common thing. So the way that social services are quite often run in Quebec, not always, but often, is that the service users will participate in running the service quite often. So I've heard of, Benoit, he used to work with a service center for youth who, they had a home, but they had run away so many times that the province of Quebec was like, okay, we're going to put you in a group home. But they usually had like one adult running the center and a bunch of the older youth would help run the center, and the younger youth would just sort of live there and be trained on how to run the thing. And the older would teach the younger how to cook and clean and pay their bills on time and how to register their taxes and all that kind of thing. And it was very sort of like a group collective sort of thing. And this is how youth services are more likely to be run. So there's things like that in Ontario, but in Quebec, it's the standard. Whereas here, it's kind of exceptional. You get one or two in Toronto, that kind of thing. So it's much more about like people teaching people. I think it was kind of like when Quebec started abandoning churches.
Oh, for sure.
This was the substitute.
When a nonprofit organization started.
Exploded,
started to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you have a group of peers, mm-hmm. of course, everybody's there to support. It's somewhat of a family. And we know that our friends is basically the family that we actually do choose.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look with, example, Jeunesse d'Âme, which is, you know, the only Francophone group here, mm-hmm. even if we do have some Anglophones that comes because, you know, closer to home, whatever, yeah. and they can speak English and they understand French and so on. But then we, as a resource, we want to make sure that people can actually communicate together,
mm-hmm.
help each other out, mm-hmm. because there's no such thing as one model.
Mm-hmm.
We suffer too much from all the stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
as for what does a lesbian look like and what does a gay man look like.
Mm-hmm.
So what we wanted to do is to make sure that we have so many positive models, but you can take whatever you want from whoever that talks to you. And that's basically how it is. And it all comes back to empowerment,
mm-hmm.
you know, to take back the control on your life. And I think that feminists has used that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to, you know, let's take, you know, like take back the night, mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, it's like, okay, we should be able to, we are able to, we will do it. So it's all about that. It's just you learn from a bunch of people and then you take whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think that even if we go back, you know, years and years ago, when all the families stayed together, you know, within the generation, because, you know, the grandparents were really important for the parents and then the kids and,
yep.
then, you know, the generation would actually learn from one another.
Yeah.
And that's basically how it goes. So I think it has a lot to do with that.
It's kind of reflected, the model. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although allosexual has kind of a sister in queer, where queer is essentially, it is the other. It is othering mm-hmm. a thing in terms of academically, the queer lens is looking at things which you don't look at normally. It's like, what are you looking at usually and what's been excluded? And that's
and so that's the whole point of queering. You take the sort of like the other,
the non-normative.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of allo being like the differently,
the otherness, yeah.
rotated,
yeah. Yeah.
oriented, differently oriented. And then queering is in the othering.
Yeah.
In,
well,
in
they were actually allosexuel was really inspired by queer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because since we are a Francophone community, a lot of the studies were all in English. Mm-hmm. So to start that, and we know that in the last 10 years, there has been a lot of studies made in French
yeah.
about the queer community.
Part of it is also the word queer doesn't really have a French equivalent, really. So, I mean, there's like étrange, but that also means a foreigner. Like
exactly.
Étrangère. So,
exactly.
I mean, it's the equivalence is an issue. The history as well. So, the word queer came to mean what it means in English, partly because of the punk scene. So, the queercore scene was the term queer was something that unified the gay punks and the lesbian punks. It's what they had in common was the mm-hmm. fact that they were queer. And so, it kind of it started from this sort of radical angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time, from what I understand anyway, when feminists and gender studies people in Quebec and the rest of French-speaking Canada started looking at, like, maybe we should start translating this, it had already become an academic concept, and sort of going back to the radical roots didn't really make sense at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Actually, you were in the room at the time. Tell
yes.
us about it.
Well, it's just we want to use, you know, well, we wanted to use a word that was uniting everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said a little earlier, not everybody uses allosexuel as a term. Some use altersexuel.
Okay.
But we're starting to see it a little bit more often in some of the writings or the studies. But it's slowly making its entrance, yeah. if we want. Because, you know, it's a change. And mm-hmm. it takes a lot. And at the same time, as we said earlier as well, is a lot of people are like, well, yeah, but I don't identify myself as the allosexuel. I
yeah.
want to use, you know, aromatique or asexuel. So that's a little more complicated. But at the same time is when, and that's all the way back from like more than 10, 15 years ago, when Le Rajac, or what we used to call it, Kaki,
mm-hmm.
Quebec Alliance for Queer Youth.
Okay.
And in French, it was Regroupement pour la Jeunesse Allosexuelle du Québec. So that was a bilingual
mm-hmm.
Movement or a group that wanted to have all the youth groups, association that was about everything that was different from heterosexual and cisgender.
And this must have been in Montreal.
It has to be. You know. But we were people from Montreal, Well, you know, there were a few people from everywhere around Quebec,
yeah.
but mostly Quebec and Montreal. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, everything has to be voted and all that. And we're like, hey, let's use it for a while and see how it goes. We did got the name, you know, for the group, mm-hmm. Jack, incorporated and all that. And then we made, you know, we did ask for l'Office de la langue française to actually take that and see, take it in consideration, which has been accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can actually even say allosexualité
mm-hmm.
if you go in and check it out. So then you can actually, you know,
have it as a verb. Do you remember what year this was?
That had to be around 2002.
Okay. So yeah. This is very modern.
Yeah, yeah. Very much so. Very yeah. much so. So still very new.
Something that hasn't really come up, at least not in this conversation, not naturally anyway, is that allosexuel is a group-level word.
Yeah.
You don't have allosexuel individuals.
No, not really.
So, like, some time ago, I remember, and I think I remember reading a document, and you were watching me, and I just burst out laughing.
I think I know you.
And you're like, what is it? I was like, why are we so worried about LGBTQ men? And you're like, what's so funny about that? I'm like, why are we so worried about lesbian men? Like, why are we using LGBTQ to describe men instead of, like, MSM, which is what mm-hmm. we usually use? So MSM and trans men is usually if you want to be inclusive to men. But if you say, and it's just this over application of the word LGBTQ, which is also a group level term.
Yeah, but I've heard
you could say individuals of the LGBTQ community, yeah. which
exactly.
is fine.
Exactly.
But LGBTQ men is such a bizarre concept. No.
Yeah. But at the same time, is you cannot be a woman being a man and gay and heterosexual or whatever, yeah. all of that together. So that's why it's for a group of people
yeah. mm-hmm.
that represent some minority.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, is a lot of people or men don't really identify as men having sex with men.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do still, up today, sexualize a lot the sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And it's not all about sexuality. Mm-hmm. And that's what the community has been trying to do for the past few years. One of the reasons as well why the pink got removed from the flag. That, you know, the pink, which was, you know, more about sexuality. But people are like, yes, it is my sexuality, but I'm not just a sexual human mm-hmm. being. Mm-hmm. So it's not only men having sex with men. Is yes, I can say I'm a gay man, but that means I'm a man that can be in love or, yeah. you know, building a relationship with another man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marrying a man or... You know, it's not about sexuality because, you know, when we talk about sexual orientation, it has to have like the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
As for all the attractions.
And intimacy has a different angle in French culture. So something that I was actually talking with a friend of mine who's from Catalan. So she's Spanish. And we were just chatting and I was unrelated, but I mentioned to her that I would rather have a really good kitchen set and one couch than a really good living room set. And then eat at the coffee table all the time. And she just laughed and she said, that's such like romance culture kind of thing. Cause like, this is something that like, when I visit my family in Abitibi, we never sit in the living room.
It's all in the kitchen.
It's all in the kitchen.
Quebec is all about the kitchen.
And you know, someone doesn't see you like as an intimate friend if when you visit them, you sit in the living room. If you're a true friend, they will take you into the kitchen. And quite often it's like you get into the kitchen and there's usually like a plate of like day old donuts where they're like, go on, take whatever you want. And then sometimes they keep the coffee machine on the kitchen mm-hmm. table. If it's a small apartment, usually they'll have like a sideboard or something like that. But in a small apartment, like the teapot and the coffee machine are on the kitchen table. You go straight to the kitchen, you sit there and you play usually like Skibo or Uno or something yeah. like that.
Or you just talk.
Yeah, or you just talk. But it's sort of like the kitchen is, but it's still this very... Like,
and that's one of the reason why if you go in Montreal, most times... The door to get in is directly into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. But it is like there's a different approach to what it means to be intimate. And so like closeness is a little bit closer in Quebec quite often than it is in Anglo-Canada. Or WASP Canada, I should say. Like white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Canada is not quite the same. And so the notion of closeness, because it's different, the notion of what it means to be homoromantic is slightly colored in the sort of the Quebec context. So the idea of like if you're not sexually attracted to the same sex or gender, but you are sort of like intimate or romantically attracted to the same sex or gender, it's really hard to tell the difference quite often because intimacy does have a different look
mm-hmm.
in the sort of romance cultures. It's, you know, the big thing if you go to Italy, everyone looks gay. and you can't tell the difference.
Are you gay or just European?
You're just European, yeah. And yeah, that whole concept mostly applies to like France, Spain, Italy. Like, it's mostly the romance cultures, because like when you see two men or two women who are close friends, like the intimacy is a little bit different than it is in most of the rest of Europe. And so I don't know why I decided to use kitchens as a metaphor, but it's a tangible thing that kind of shows that there's a huge difference. But yeah, it's sort of bringing in people to the closer space is a different meaning. Talk about groups in a different way than you talk about individuals. Like, your use of language should be different, because groups and individuals behave in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's like talking about solids and molecules using the same language. It
won't work.
It's weird. Yeah. Sometimes when I hear people talking about individuals using the language of groups, I'm just sort of like, what's that? Like LGBTQ men. Like, it's that same, like, what are you doing to yourself? And yeah, that is definitely something that kind of confuses me sometimes. Or when people use like identity politics to talk about groups, like you're using in the language of an individual to talk about a large group of people. You could say this is a group of people which share an identity. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. But what you're doing is you're framing a group in terms of the individual instead of using the language of an individual on a group.
I have to agree with you. I do have to agree, because I think that everything comes to a culture.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that will change a way of thinking of, or to change the way that we express ourselves, that people won't find. What I'm trying to say is, I think that the more we go to a group of people, but for that, we need to make sure that people are okay with it. Because why do we use certain words if most of the people within that same community don't agree?
Yeah.
Because I think that it comes down to a lot of things. Those who are in power, I think that they can say, okay, well, I think that most people would agree, but that doesn't mean that everybody's on board. Yeah. So to make sure that we utilize different words and to try to remove all the genders to be as more inclusive as possible,
mm-hmm.
I think only that, just to referring to the fact that when I do my workshops, example,
mm-hmm.
whatever people I'm talking with, depending of which culture they are, what I'll do is I'll try to find one thing that we have in common. So we need to do that, because that and only that will help them to understand mm-hmm. what people are going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that can change their way of being more accepting, more, you know, starting with tolerance. But then after that, they won't have to care anymore
mm-hmm.
because they say, well, it's the same thing, but with a different topic.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us in the conversation. Thanks for listening. I've been Nick Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And Eric.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and The Station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.